Swash.
The Great Wall is here.
With Muireann O'Connell on Today FM.
Oh, whoops. I just crashed that. Hello and welcome to the Night's Watch. It's Muireann O'Connell with you with regular co-host Roisin Riley.
Hello.
And we're joined by a very special guest, Alison Healy.
Hello.
Okay, we are talking about Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 5, which was called
The Bells.
I was like, what's the bells going to be about, lads? This is going to be great. Are we going to get to see them going up the... Are they going to be ringing the bells? Are we going to have a maypole? It's going to be lovely.
My fear of spoilers is so big that I won't even watch or look at what the title of the episode is going to be, lest it gives anything away.
They don't release it until afterwards.
Yeah, you don't...
They don't name the episode until after the episode is aired.
So I don't watch that. And I don't watch the credits and I don't watch the teaser for the next week either.
Okay.
So I don't know. That's the first time I found out that it was called The Bells.
Well, don't worry about the teaser for the finale because it gives you absolutely nothing.
It's always been real.
Spoilers are coming.
Obviously, spoilers are coming because we're here to talk about it. And as it kicks off, we are opening onto a scene on Dragonstone with Varys. And Varys is doing what Varys does best. He's got his little birds around him.
Little birdies.
And he's just going...
Chirp, chirp.
It was just an email blast, essentially, is what he was doing.
Send all.
To everyone. Just going, by the way...
All staff.
Jon Snow, rightful heir to the throne. Danny's a bit mad. So I loved seeing him actually... You never see him write his notes. You always just see his little scrolls.
Did you not get worried that his ink was smudging when he hit it? I was like, that's smudge. He's going to have to start again.
I didn't think of it.
It's going to be another 50 minutes of his life and he only has a certain amount of time left.
Do you think that he was, because he was obviously talking to a little girl, I think her name was the
Martha.
Character that Martha. She worked in the kitchens.
She
and
did.
That he was trying to poison Danny.
Yes, and then because the significance being that Martha going, she's not eating. And he's like, try again at supper.
Yeah.
There was deliberate confusion there, I think. There was nothing. It wasn't, you didn't know who was talking about what. You didn't know where you were, what character was being discussed. I think it was only when it opened out then onto the beach and then that you saw that what he was trying to do. Mm. So it was really good because you saw him at work doing what he does best.
When we talk, can I just jump in there? What was the significance of when the soldiers, when the Unsullied were coming to get Varys to bring him to his death?
Yeah.
Taking the rings off and putting them into the bowl? Why do you do that?
Just wants to leave something of himself behind.
Okay.
That there will always be a Littlefinger-like character maybe.
Okay.
I don't know if it was hugely significant because this... This maybe, season seems to not know what the hell it's doing.
Maybe he bought them from ASOS and they'd gone green and he was done with it, you know?
He's like, that'll really burn. I don't go. That's going to be really bad. So Tyrion is speaking to Dany and this is the first, bar the last scene in the last episode when Dany's walking away after Missandei. When we see her and the way that they show that she's mad is that her plaits are undone and the hair hasn't been brushed.
Dark circles.
I was like, oh, well then, obviously.
She looks quite like her brother.
In
last night's episode,
Viserys, she did, but I was like, oh,
she looks like the before when they do the Instagram makeovers. You know, they go before and then they put all the makeup on their face. She looks like the before.
Yeah, I was there going, she looks better than almost every single person I will ever know in my entire life. But she's meant to look rubbish, and that she's gone mad. And then they go the whole thing where Tyrion gives Varys up in a way where he's trying not to give him up. You know, in a
very he gives him up. He knows he has to.
No,
he does.
But he tries to save him at the same time. And he's not going to shirk from the responsibility of telling Varys when he is being led outside to his death, kind of going, dude, it was me. And I just thought with Varys, it was just kind of amazing the way he's like, I hope I'm wrong.
Mm.
Like, I hope that I'm wrong about her and that everything's going to be fine.
So we were talking about this earlier, that what eventually happens in last night's episode, what eventually happens in King's Landing, that was what Varys had always seen. That was the foreboding that was coming through.
And I think what Varys says about the what he says to Jon Snow is very it's very weighted because
Jon has arrived.
Yeah, and he says to Jon Snow, I've seen many kings, I've whispered in their ears, I've seen what they say in public and in private.
Mm-hmm.
She's not it. You're it. Tag, you're it. And fast forward to the very end when it's all playing out and you look at that, you know, insane scene unfolding in front of John's eyes, I heard Varys' voice again. So I thought his scene was probably one of the most powerful to kick it off. So I thought it started brilliantly.
But we see there again.
And then it went downhill.
But John again is turning away from it because in that moment he's like, she's our queen. Like,
John would want to pull up his socks because I have not been impressed with any of his antics this season. He is a wet blanket.
Would he wants to shag his aunt.
Where is the backbone?
Can we just take a moment?
He could have shagged his aunt last night. Well, he rejected her again.
No. She said, am I just your queen? I was like, no, you're his aunt. Like,
also, incest is in Targaryen blood. I don't know what's the issue.
But he was brought up as a
Stark. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he's like, if you found out now in your family that it was all incest all around the bush, would you be like, cool, great, where's my brother? No, you'd be like, oh, still gross.
Her eyes do roll back in her head a little bit weirdly sometimes.
It is Longford.
So, at the bit where Varys went, I hope I deserve it. Truly, I do. I hope I'm wrong. I was like,
eek.
That's brilliant. But then Varys, one of the most interesting characters, was dead after 3.5 minutes. The one bit of CGI that I liked in this episode, because I thought it was rubbish. I know a lot of people are saying the cinematography was amazing. I thought it was shite. I thought it looked like I was looking at, you know, Assassin's Creed or something. I was like, what the hell? It was better before. It was when they're standing there and Drogon comes out of the shadows to look at him down. I was whoa, that was cool.
Shivers. Yes. And I screamed properly. I was like, oh God, it's going to happen. And then he's never taken that, which she utters that word Dracarys. Usually that's like on the beat. She says it and he blows fire. But there was a pause, a really pregnant pause. And you think, is he going to get away with it? Is somebody going to swoop in? Is there going to, and no, absolute toast.
He's like, I know what you did. Drogon's like, I'm just going to surprise you.
Yeah, he was playing. He was, hey, bitches.
It's like a cat with a mouse just going, you think I'm going to kill you? Hold up. We're like, no. Oh, I'm going to pounce on you now. No, it was quite funny. So then a lot of, and I know Miss Endy is, she was a big enough character. She wasn't. And now it's like, this was all her only possession that she had. You know, the collar of when she was a slave. And then Grey Worm throwing it into the fire. I don't care.
He was called something else. She called him something else. Did you notice that? Or something. Yeah, but that, I found that interesting. They're trying to give him much more of an identity now himself. Well, he is a central character, but every time they call somebody by a new name or look at them lovingly, I'm like, they're gone. They're dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gone. You know.
So we've got this going on. John and Cersei shift, and he's like, again, I'm going back.
No, John and Danny.
Yeah. Sorry. Again, I'm going back to, I said this a few episodes ago, when you agree to go out with someone the first 2 days of Irish College and then they repulse you by the fifth day, but you have to stay going out with them until the end of Irish College. That's exactly what he's like right now. He's like, ugh.
And it's, you know what? It's really uncomfortable to watch because you're like, oh no, because we know now and it's just not okay. It's kind of gross, but it's fine when it's Jamie and Cersei. It's just weird.
Well, we're used to it.
I also don't think that Danny and John, I don't get that chemistry anyway.
I mean, Jamie could, you know, score a wall and I'd be like, lucky wall. other thing is interesting when Tyrion and Danny were talking and she said, you know, betray me once more and that'll be the last time or whatever. She was asking him a lot about Jon Snow and she said, Jon Snow's betrayed me. And he went, well, no, because Sansa told Arya to told blah, 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 told blah, blah, blah. And she went, yeah, but I'll bring you back again to the fact that it was Jon Snow. So there was a real, like,
that's how everyone found out I first got my period in school. Someone told John Snow. And John Snow.
John Snow. I told him. He cannot
hold
get anything right.
You know what I mean? Cropping up in Limerick.
It's always at that. It was like a school thing. It was Chinese whispers from school days. It was
She was hell-bent on pinning it on him.
And that brings me to the question I was going to ask there. When all hell breaks loose at King's Landing and Danny and Drogon, you know, go on their rampage. You know, there's lots of different theories as to she turned into the Mad Queen and all that, and we can talk about that. But essentially, you're like, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Do you think?
She has been rejected twice, three times by him now. She has no problem continuing a sexual relationship with him.
I don't think it's that she's been rejected by him. She feels that John is a symbol of all of Westeros and she's been rejected by all of Westeros, is what I would think. Not just one fella.
I don't think she cares who was in there. That's the thing.
Oh no, she doesn't.
I don't think she cared that John was in there. I don't think she cared. We're leaping ahead.
It was when he did reject her and she moves back and she goes, all right then, let it be fear.
Yes.
That was
very good. I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah.
As she stood on that wall and it was like, there, you know, I could be loved, I could be respected, or I can be feared. She ain't got option A and option B aren't open for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she fear was only left with fear. Yeah.
And everyone there, like you were bringing it back to Olenna in Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In last season when she was like, unless they fear you, they won't respect you.
Yes.
Isn't that what you were saying, Roisin?
Yes. Yeah.
That it always had to be fear. It's just that if she was the character arc that they've given us for her,
It's been so unbelievably steep. I think it will be done better in the books, obviously, because we'll have time to see her become.
Well, she just
the
went
Mad
from
Queen.
She just went from this. I suppose this person with, you know, a moral compass that was, you know, all things good and about her people and about, you know, preserving life and all of that, into Mad Queen, essentially, is where we were led last night. Very quickly.
In two scenes.
Very quickly.
Oh,
and
no.
So
that's been happening for three episodes.
No, it hasn't, Alison. It was quite lazy. Quite lazy. And that has been indicative of this whole season. Go from like 0 to 60 in the space of a couple of scenes, not even episodes.
Yeah.
From she said fear last night to what happened in King's Landing.
When he had a Tyrion had a conversation with her in last week's episode, and he said about her, you know, Cersei surrounding herself with thousands of innocents, and you could see Dany didn't really care. I think that this was a longer slide. Now, it did ramp up awfully quick yesterday and awfully conveniently. I understand that. But I don't think it was fresh. I had it written down in a notebook, like, that she is going to become the Mad King. A couple of episodes ago, it was flagged in me. So something was done, and enough was done to lay the groundwork that I knew that she was going to burn them all.
I just think it...
Lazy.
It was lazy. Lazy and convenient was...
It's like you're on conveniently stumbling into the same beach as Jamie. There was so much...
Also,
convenience.
Sorry. Like, he swam a fair bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
That, in leather...
I've seen him in real life, lads. I absolutely would.
Again, I'm with you 100%. Everyone who's kind of like, no, you're on so creepy. I'm like, he is not.
He's not.
He can creep up. He's a hard man.
You're on.
With a you're on. He, again, we get back to the sex here on the Night's Watch podcast.
Sorry.
So here we go. In this season, Tyrion, a guy who has been, and this is where the writing is leaving Tyrion down. Since George R. Martin's dialogue is gone, I would have to say, all of his smarts are gone with it. And this is, his political mind is gone. And now he's obviously just wants to save innocent people because he can see, oh, she's lost her damn mind.
Yes.
And he keeps on going on about the bells. When you hear the bells, that means they've surrendered. Please, please, please. He's looking at Grey Worm. He's looking at her.
Yeah.
When she's decided to go and torch the shit out of King's Landing.
Yeah.
But they laboured the point about the bells so much. He says it in a sentence, almost word for word, 3 times in the space of about 6 minutes. And I'm like, they think we're all thick now. They think we're all thick. Whereas before...
That we'll miss it.
Hand
feed it
to
them.
And we won't see, oh, now she's the Mad Queen.
But you see, like, when you get to that scene and you can hear the crowds screaming and roaring, ring the bells, ring the bells, ring the bells. And again, there's that elongated pause with Cersei standing on that bloody balcony with the bad wig looking out. And you're going, ring the bloody bells, ring the bells. So you know... Two things. One of two things are going to happen. Either Cersei will not ring those bells or Dany will attack. But both weren't, you know, Cersei...
I thought that
someone
was really powerful.
Wasn't going to surrender.
I thought it was really powerful. Ring the bells, ring the bells. All the different voices from around, you know, just begging, you know, and it's a faceless crowd.
Ring my bell.
Inappropriate, but
ring my bell.
Disco isn't the genre of music I would bring in for this. But yeah, I thought that was powerful. When she comes along, okay, first of all, Golden Company, absolutely keep your receipt, ask for your money back. That was a huge, massive waste of money.
Joke.
I mean, she was sitting there with her Cabbage Patch wig, absolutely raging she hadn't kept her receipt. Did she buy them online? Because she'll have them in her email.
Horrendous.
Like when she tried them on, it wasn't what
she looked different in the shop mirror.
Again, let's look at the how lazy and convenient that was.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the size of the Golden Company and how many boats and scorpions they had. And they were able to take down Rhaegal last week. Yeah. And then this week, Drogon was ready for it. She could fly up, down, in, out, because they only point in one direction.
But I thought they were going to have armour. I was there going, oh, they'd have armour.
The dragon? This.
Yeah, that they'd somehow... put some armour on the bloody dragon.
You'd be a while trying to dress that lad.
But sure, Jesus, it used to take them 1.5 years to get down the King's Road. Now it takes 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, do you know, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Dragon armour, Maureen.
I did.
You've lost your mind.
I have lost.
I mean...
So, oh Golden Company wiped out in the space of, you know, 2 frames.
Also, what I thought was strange, and I know they've killed off so many characters... The Golden Company, you know the way they keep on showing your man who looks like a cartoon character, the head of the
like,
Golden Company.
He looks like from Shrek, the Prince from Shrek.
The Prince from Shrek, yes, that's it. And it's like, he's a character now. Yeah. By the way, he's a character. Guys, we're going to show you
still
another 4
name.
Seconds.
Yeah.
we don't give a shit. No. We're like, okay, you die, whatever.
And then what you see is when they come face to face, when the Army of the North come face to face in King's Landing, right? Who goes first? Who goes first through the gates? Whooping and hollering. Whoa, a whole load of Dothraki.
Yeah.
However, were we not led to believe that at the Battle of Winterfell, the Dothraki were all sent to their death to the Army of the Dead because they were first in line?
No, because we saw them coming back with Jorah.
Yeah, they
when
rode
Jorah
back,
came
rode
back, a few of them did come back as well.
A few.
I know.
How many headed into King's Landing? Again, lazy.
Listen, they've said they've spent so much money
insulting,
on
each episode. Insulting, I would say. Insulting.
Can we talk a little bit about Drogon and the scorpions and the fact... Now, he was going...
I was going into my
weather conditions were favourable for Danny.
They were. They had gotten onto Jean Byrne and she was like, you know what?
Today's a good day.
Martin King was like, I'm telling you, this is where you need to go. But I was kind of thinking to World War II history, when you stay low, you know, you can be a harder target sort of a thing.
So she came from a height.
So she came.
Well, yeah, she came from the sun.
But she, and she swooped down.
Yeah.
And then she was like at the level where she could just burn them all. It was done incredibly. I was like,
what?
The scorpion thing, I was like, they'd barely even got a shot away. We saw one shot.
She had to act fast. That was one of the best pieces of television from last night. The whole, when they were in the bay and she takes out the Iron Fleet. By the way, is Yara on a 2-week semester break?
Oh.
Where is she gone? I'm going off to the islands to mind them. Okay, off you go. Jog on, love.
But sure, what? Yara's over in the Iron Islands and Bronn, isn't he up in Highgarden?
Having the crack.
With his ladies.
I was expecting Yara. I was like, she's obviously... Yeah.
No, she's on a Erasmus. Leave her off. So, okay, I thought that was incredibly well done. I thought it was
Alison
a taster.
Thought it was incredibly well done, everybody.
Yes, I did.
Alison thought it was incredible. And you should see the side eye that Roisin Riley is giving Alison Healy
she
right
can
now.
She side eye me all she wants. Excellent. My beautiful opinion.
No.
Okay, I think that it was a little taster of the firepower that was about to come. I thought it was visually done really well. It was like when... In my opinion, it was like when the ice dragon dead blasted the wall. It was the fire side of that. So it was very visually the same.
I wanted to see it. Yeah, I
and
definitely
then
wanted
there was
to see
the noise
it.
And the noise and the noise. And what was it? What is it? What, like that banging? What was it coming from behind? And then she comes through the wall and it blasts through and there's fire and hell and brimstone and ashes and it's incredible. And Tyrion is this just presence in the middle of it all, a precious presence. And you realise this is not going to end well for anybody.
Tyrion's like, fuck, I done fucked up.
Starks are all right eventually.
The Stark Truth.
I'm going to throw this out there. You may not agree. The character of the episode was the guard from Line of Duty.
Ah, yes.
As soon as she came in, the detective, I was like, Line of Duty.
Read a really funny tweet where it was like, you know, because she kind of fucked up in Line of Duty and her sergeant was like, I'll be expecting your resignation. So it's like,
oh,
you're
sorry,
being sent to King's Landing as punishment. And she shows up there. Very
now,
funny.
Obviously, they didn't know, you know, the casting directors didn't know that she was going to be
in the central role.
A show, but it kept on taking me out. I was like,
I think it was beautiful that there was a crossover between Line of Duty and Game of Thrones. That's
so
CV. Actually, her daughter in that, is that little Martha that Varys had?
No.
Are you sure? They're not the same kid?
No.
Okay, because I got very confused when I saw them heading for King's Landing.
All
I was
little
like,
kids
right,
with mousy brown hair.
How'd you get from Dragonstone to there? And also, what is her significance? But yeah.
There is a significance with the kid.
Alison has a good point on what she thinks that is.
Well, I think the mother and child put a personality and a face to a faceless crowd. So you as an audience are at home, you're sitting, you're watching 10,000 people getting burned and you're hearing cries of help and you're like, another 50 dead, another 200 dead, don't really care. But then you're following the journey of two or three point people in that crowd. All of a sudden you're emotionally invested and you want them and you're rooting for the crowd and you needed something to really turn on Danny.
Yeah.
And I think though the people on the ground and particularly that mother and daughter pairing did that really well. Now, I mean, how they kept bumping into all the characters they needed to. Like,
did Arya bump into Gendry at one point?
No, it looked like him.
Okay, but
it
wasn't
him.
Have
you seen nice bread?
Yeah.
I don't know what he asked for.
I thought it was him.
No, it looked like him, all right.
We've, because we wanted to talk about the scorpions and that whole
what was going on there? We skirted over the whole Jamie Tyrion, Tyrion letting Jamie.
Yeah. Again, let me bring you back to lazy and convenient.
Yeah.
Do we think that Jamie and Tyrion would ever have had an exchange like that where Jamie Lannister yeah. starts crying?
When you took me out to play baseball as a kid, oh, you really
please.
Helped me. Yeah.
No. It was the same carry on where they conveniently
it's
changed
a TV movie.
Brienne's character.
Yeah.
They. You know, last night and the season, the episodes before that, it's all about give them what they want, give them big Hollywood, give them this, that and the other. And it's like, no, give us what we expect from Game of Thrones.
Can I just say that...
That's a very good point. I can't argue with that.
With it all, and I think Tyrion knows that the end is nigh. It's as simple as that. He knows
yeah.
what's coming.
Yeah.
And he has always said, it's in the books as well, it is that Jaime is the only one who loved me. You know, my mother died, my father hated me, my sister hated me. Jaime is it. When he said, you're the only one that didn't treat me like a monster, now whether I thought the rest of it would happen, no. With that one line, I completely and utterly bought.
The hug and
they
the
love each other.
No, the hug and the crying step too far.
The
and also, can we just for one second, sidebar, the Golden Hand took on a comical prop. Kind of mythical, bizarre point and laugh. Like at one stage, he holds it up and waves it, then it's off, then it's on, and it, you just see it floundering.
Soldier!
And then, ironically, after making such
I'm
a.
I'm doing that in Whelan's. You want to get a drink?
Soldier!
She puts on a glove.
Just puts a load of highlighter on her hand. Soldier! But after making such a bloody big deal of it, then they go and forget to put it in one of the scenes.
Yeah. And it's Starbucks all over again. It's
Jesus.
Lazy.
Christ.
Hello, lazy.
Like continuity editors, please.
Wake up.
Wake up. It's your literal only job.
Yeah.
Now.
Arya and the Hound.
Oh, I was going to say Cleganebowl, but
we're going to get to Cleganebowl. Yeah. But Arya and the Hound walking through King's Landing.
The worst disguises. They're literally in black and everyone else is in red and yellow and green.
But at that stage, I don't think anyone cares, but I could just hear the Saturday Night Fever. We're going nowhere. Yeah. Somebody help me. Somebody help me play. They were striding through that town.
Yeah, convenience. Convenience.
How did they get there all of a sudden? That was my question. When they rocked up to the soldier and he was like, where are you going? I'm going to go kill Cersei. Okay, well, you can either get out of the way or whatever. And then, bang, they're at the gates. I need a two-scale map before
I think
the
it's
last
like the N7 that I've actually put in a,
so there are the seven,
a couple of lanes.
There are the seven gates of King's Landing.
The N7 gates.
So we're at the Nace Ball. Or the Red Cow.
They're at the ball at Nace.
Ball to Cow.
And
how long are we talking?
And they're just headed to take the exit for Port Leash,
South
I think.
Nace?
You're always going to pick the Nace Ball over the Red Cow.
Yeah.
It's just more crack.
I know. Do they have the right money for the toll bridge? Does it take card? Like, to be honest, it's too distracting now at this stage.
Would you say it's convenient, Alison?
Would you, Roisin? You haven't said it yet. Just spit it out.
They did with when they're doing that, and then more CGI comes into it, because what they're doing is fulfilling what a lot of Game of Thrones TV fans have wanted all the time. And we're bloodthirsty. And I just thought it was, again, lazy. But the CGI, it kept on distracting me. I thought it was so fucking awful. At one stage, if anyone has seen Wine Country, I apologise and I feel your pain. Do not watch that movie. I love all the people in it. Terrible movie. But during the movie on inside scenes, they've got like this Instagram filter over their face.
Oh God.
Because heaven forbid women who are over the age of 35 look over the age of 35 in Hollywood. But that's all I thought.
Also, it kept on, just get the fillers and forget about the filter.
It kept on taking me out of what was actually going on. I was like, a kid drew that. Oh, that's one of those, you know, Jim Fitzpatrick, but you know those posters that fantasy fans sometimes buy, and it looks like it looks like it's a picture, but it's actually a drawing.
I suppose the Kardashians get loads of them.
That didn't.
Yes,
that didn't bother me so much.
What the CGI?
Yeah,
I really had no problem with CGI. The main issue is they went to town for episode 3 with the fighting the dead, and you couldn't see a fucking thing. It was stormy, windy, haily. I think it's Game of Thrones I'm watching. It could be like,
of course, I could see it because I watched it on my laptop and I could adjust my screen. I did say this.
Here
back
we go
when
again.
I'm yeah, because people have told you to do that.
Yeah.
I took a hit. I got up at 2 in the morning and was like, I think it's Game of Thrones. What I would say is that CGI was probably better because it was in darkness. This is really, really the first time that we see a dragon over buildings. So
it is. Because
really
they got a great
testing.
Day for it, in fairness.
Great drying out
great
that
drying.
Day. And that's the issue. When you get it, when your all your clothes
Ireland
are
final
burned
weather.
To a...
Yeah.
That's exactly
all
what it
Ireland
was.
Fine. Ham yeah. sandwiches.
It does hark back to the prophecy that Bran had in season 6. So when he, Hordor, and Hordor's dead and he's been pulled away from all that thing, R.I.P. Hordor, he has a prophecy about what's going to happen, and it is a dragon flying over King's Landing
yeah.
and lighting shit up. And that's exactly what Drogon starts to do. He starts to light shit up. Cersei's like standing at her, as always, Cersei is standing at her window. It's like, I paid for the conservatory. I'm going to use the
and all the money they spend, all of the money, the big budgets Game of Thrones has, and they couldn't get her a decent wig.
Never.
It's offensive, that wig.
She calls it, she hates it. She's like, she sweats bullets wearing it. Can yeah. I ask a question?
Imagine.
When Dany turns, okay, so the smoke is behind her, she's on the dragon, the bells ring,
yeah.
everything is there, there's a, they drop their swords, they've surrendered,
yeah.
the like King's Landing soldiers,
yeah.
the Lannister army.
Yes.
So they've all down tools, right? Yeah. And Jon is in the streets and everything is stopped and there's like, you know, there's just, it's a pregnant pause, and she is on the dragon. And
you're loving your pregnant pauses. Do you have something to tell us?
Because, well, guys, I'm pregnant with Drogon's baby. I'm excited. The gestation period of 28 months. But anyway, so yeah. after all of that happens, did you think that she was going to light it up anyway? Did you know that she was going to go for it?
Well, sure, when they zoom in on her face and the look in her eye, you're supposed to go, eek, mad queen, what? She's going to go mental now. And that's what she does.
But when you're sitting there, and when all this is happening, and this is before the bell, just before the bells are rung, and Cersei is looking out her conservatory window, and Qyburn, that useless prick, he is like, what WTF, Cersei? And that's when I realised, oh God, she doesn't have a plan. Like, this is it. I thought she had.
I know.
No, because,
something
because
else.
She said the Red Keep has never fallen and it won't fall today. And you're like, alrighty. But have you seen what's coming for you, Cersei? So I'd at least get out of the window.
Get out the window. Yeah. And then we saw
where was
Roisin
the wild?
Riley's favourite character.
The Night's Watch.
The Great Wall is here.
With Muireann O'Connell on Today FM.
Give it up for Davos. Yeah. Aww. Come on, Davos. You love Davos so much. Himself, John and Grey Worm going through the crowd. As you said, Alan, were you delighted to see him there?
Oh,
the
thrilled!
At the top?
I'm thrilled that he's there and that he's going to make it to the finale. What the purpose of him is, I don't know.
So, you will see.
Okay, well, okay, yeah.
So we know what the kind of purpose is.
He did a good job in this one.
He's also humanity, much like Line of Duty guard and her daughter. He's humanity because his first thought is about the civilians rather than what's going
first
on.
First of all, the budgie smuggler crap. Like, you're one of the best smugglers. And then he smuggled Jamie. Sorry, breaking him out and that whole thing bothered me a lot. That was the bit. That was my main bone of contention yesterday. When Davos was he? Did he bundle Jamie up to the gates?
No.
Yeah, that's what Tyrion was asking him. Could he smuggle?
Well,
it was either that or a bag of coke.
I thought that was.
Well, for me,
that's for the after party.
For me. Davos did smuggle Jamie.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he got him the key to get him out, and then and Tyrion went in and went, "There you go. There's the key to get you out."
Do they have a Star Trek transporter? All of a sudden,
yes, they must do.
That they can just jump from place to place so bloody quickly. Because I thought that he got one of his other minions smugglers to be like, "Come here, I'll give you a fiver, get Jamie in there."
It was all very brushed over.
Yeah.
So then we had the face off. Mm-hmm. The bells are going. Cersei, Dany. Cersei, Dany, Cersei.
Except Muireann, we didn't have a face off. And that is one of my biggest issues
they
with this
episode. They didn't look directly into each other's eyes.
They were miles apart.
When
yeah.
Dany starts her, when she starts herself and Drogon go on the rampage over King's Landing, that's the last time we see Dany's face. That's the last time we make eye contact mm-hmm. with Dany. Because you're just supposed to believe that the madness has entered her and there we have it and she's lost it and this is what she's doing. The whole thing about Cersei is she's been massively underused in this entire season,
yep.
in season 8. Massively underused.
I agree.
We expected to see her. I don't even think she was in. There was one episode she wasn't. One or two episodes she wasn't even
the
in
Battle
at all.
Of Winterfell,
she wasn't
yeah.
in the Battle of Winterfell, and I think she wasn't in episode 2 either, bar maybe a lingering look out of the Red Keep towards the end of the episode. So that's not what we've come to expect from Cersei. She is a thundering bitch. She's manipulative. She is full of hate and bitterness. And then on the other side would do anything for her children and loves Jamie. And outside of that, she hates everyone else. And we never saw any of this season. And after the Night King was taken out in episode 3, of course you're going, Jesus, I sure I thought that was going to be the ultimate scene whereby the Night King was going to be obliterated. So you go, Jesus, they must have some plan in place for Cersei and Dany. And you're like, yes, bring it on. They don't even say one word to each other.
Yeah.
When Dany took off on Drogon and was headed for the Red Keep, I thought, like, she might land him somewhere and her and Cersei will at least have some words. But absolutely.
Well, I thought
nothing.
That she could have done that. Essentially, she could have just flown over and landed and been like, what up?
Yeah.
I'm going to
kill you. And that is not the best use of Cersei. And so you could argue that, you know, Cersei actually didn't get her comeuppance.
There's no best use of... Well, we'll get to that because I kind of think it was a beautiful ending for Cersei as well. Okay, so Dany's gone mad. We see that Jon has got no choice in that moment to go, I've got to take you down, and we've got a splinter group. So that's John going, we need to retreat. We need to fall back. Davos is starting to save all of these sort of people. And I was kind of sitting there going, why are you destroying your gaff? Because you want to live here, first of all. And then they kind of press home the point because you start seeing wildfire go off everywhere, which was planted by her dad, Mad King Aerys, and they couldn't find it all after he was dead
because
he killed everyone.
The city.
I saw it lighting up and going, oh, look, that's her dad. That's her dad. Now, we might have to take a moment here. Roisin Riley, do you have to head off?
No, I'm all good.
You're all good?
I'm all good.
Okay, she's got a meeting and she's like, let's get out of here.
It's actually called a meeting.
Meeting.
Really quickly, just to bring it to Cersei at the end, right? So we have just Sir the Mountain and the Hound and then Cersei. So the Mountain and the Hound, I thought it was really lovely with the Hound saying goodbye to Arya because he finally got through and broke her walls down. Literally as the walls were crumbling around her, he broke her walls down and said, you need to live on. If I walk in there, I know I'm walking into my death and I've lived my whole life to walk into this death. Yeah. You have your whole life ahead of you. You're built for a bigger purpose. So as the walls came tumbling down around her, her walls came tumbling down and she absolutely legged it like she'd stolen a chicken fillet roll at a spar. She was gone.
Well,
I thought that was really human. And
it was.
Really good.
And that was a lovely moment. Like if you track their interaction and then their friendship
that
and their relationship.
True to their arc.
And that
really
was really, that was really nicely done.
Yeah.
That they're about the only duo. Like, you know, they fucked up the Jamie Brienne thing. I think there's still something in the Tyrion Sansa relationship.
Yeah.
We need, you know, and we only have one more episode to see that. Sorry, Alison.
But there's
Doherty.
You're such a terrible person. But there's also what I liked about it is that this is the moment that you realise, oh, Arya's gotten to the point, all she wants to do is kill it. Like, you know, when you go to college and then you decide you're going to go travelling, you've got no plan after that. She's like, oh God, I've got to have a plan after I go travelling.
And she didn't have
she
one.
She wants to live.
I know, but you do look at Arya going,
she wants to live.
Yeah, I mean, I thought last night was the point where you go, Arya, like, listen to this dude. He's got years of experience on you. He's a lot bigger than you. And you are not
and
invincible.
And he loves her his own way.
He does love her.
Yeah.
You're not invincible.
And she,
and I think she finally realised that.
And
going,
she calls him Sandor.
Yeah, which was really respectful. Yeah.
Oh God, it was absolutely beautiful.
It was lovely.
I really loved that moment.
Loved it.
Yeah.
And then we go into a moment.
And then we go to Clegane Bowl.
Now,
I'm just going to say it. For me, it felt like a box ticking exercise.
Oh my God. It felt like, so if you look into the, if you watch, oh God, sometimes I shouldn't go online sometimes. So book fans hate it. They don't want the idea of it. They're like, he wouldn't do that. Then so many people who watch the TV show are like, we want this. I loved the Cersei bit of, stay, Gregor, Sir Gregor.
My dog
stay.
Is really
then,
like that.
Don't
well.
Leave my side, so Gregor.
And
you're like, no.
Then her tiptoeing around them.
Sorry.
I'm just going to, can I just get past, could I just, if I could just, but also you're going.
Best gif in the world
sorry,
now.
When he gets
for
his
everything.
Brain smashed in, that was incredible. He was tossed around like a rag doll. And then the tiptoe, I'll just squeeze past.
But listen, the Hound could have taken Cersei out right there and then as she walked past.
No,
quick
this
sword
was
in
the
side.
Point, right? They had blinkers on. They had sight for no one else. They had eyes for each other. And it was absolutely very predictable. You knew he was going to have to kill kill him by pushing him into the fire, and he would have to die in the fire. You know, he knew that was coming. Did you not see it a mile away?
That he was going to die in fire.
Yes. The hound started laughing at the end, like maniacal laughing, basically going, would you just die?
Well, it stabbed him in the eye, through the brain.
When he takes off the helmet, he's like something out of the Goonies.
But it's like,
hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. But it was like, you know when you've had a party and you're just like, can you please just leave? Can you leave the house at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, get out.
Just get out.
Yeah.
It felt like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, just kick him so that you can. And I'm like, no, you
cracking
have to,
into yeah. an eighth kind of Dutch girl. Yeah. Come on now,
he's
the mountain.
Still
off
alive
you go.
After he put a sword through his chest and then a sword through his eye.
Mm.
I know.
But he's kind of half man, half robot.
He's sorry,
robot. Zombie yeah. type.
So dead. Hound, very sad. Love you very much, Hound. Now, sorry for rushing this. I'm not joking. Roisin does have to go to a meeting. So Cersei then is standing all alone on her map, and all I could, it was like, tread softly for you tread on my dreams. And it's the metaphor is huge because,
well, it's back to where Jamie and herself saw each other for the last time.
Yeah.
The walls are literally
crumbling down around her on her map of Westeros that she, mm-hmm. like her dreams have, the metaphor was boom, yeah. was right there. And he comes in, oh my God, I love you. And they go.
Bit of time wasting there with the hugging and all the affectations.
Okay,
you're like,
listen,
guys, get downstairs.
Forget the iron fleet. You have an iron heart, Miss Thatcher. Okay, so hang on a second. It was absolutely beautiful. I think that Cersei's death was the most poetic, beautiful, gorgeous thing that I've seen.
I thought she was great. I thought the way she said, I don't want our baby to die.
I don't want to die.
What happened, which they have been building up to for a lot of the seasons, and it is the Valankar prophecy. So this was the one in season 5 where it was Maggie the Frog. There's a flashback for Cersei where this is one of my favourite prophecies, that she would be killed by a little brother. And so this was in season 5. She goes back to Maggie the Frog, who told her when she was younger that she would marry a king, have three children, all of whom would die.
Yes.
And then she said that she would be a queen for a time until there comes another younger and more beautiful to cast you down and take all that you hold dear. Doesn't mean that it has to be a queen. Jon is very, very beautiful as well. So, and in the books, this goes on for a lot longer. But it also says, Valankar, it's High Valyrian for, yeah, I look things up, for little brother, that she would have, the Valankar shall wrap his hands about your pale white throat and choke the life
from you. Well, you know, there's some people saying that we might get to the finale, and given where this has gone, I wouldn't be surprised. What if Cersei and Jaime are not dead? And it's like all this like bricks and columns falling down on top of them. It's like, just miss them. No, they're
can
okay.
Can we all take a moment for the
we'll
Dallas?
Chopper them out of
for
there.
The Dallas theme tune. It was all a dream.
I have a funny, weird feeling it is going to be some sort of time loop back to Bran. Like, where's Bran, by the way?
Oh, we'll go back to him, I presume, in the finale.
Was he? Okay, so let's go. Arya decides to live. So anyway, Cersei and Jaime die together. Was it that her little brother, they always thought it was going to be Tyrion, but it also could have been Jaime, because he is, even though they're twins, he was born after her. He technically was hugging her without his bloody gold arm so he did have his arms around her throat. Like, is that how they're going to wrap it up?
Yeah, it's a reach.
Sorry, I'll just say to that point, I know you think of an iron heart, but I did believe that maybe when Cersei and Jaime were embracing for the last time, I thought he might kill her there and then.
Actually
look her in the eye and go, I have been dying to end you, and like stick a sword in her neck or something.
He truly believes in there is only us.
But that's why I was there going, the prophecy's going to come through now. He'll kill her so that she doesn't have to get crushed to death.
Yeah, but just when you're talking about prophecies, Murren, what about the Red Witch back in the Battle of Winterfell with Arya, reminding her of her fate, brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes?
She killed people with brown and green eyes already.
Right.
She's saying, hey, listen,
Blue eyes ahead of you. 12 o'clock.
Everyone who thought that was a prophecy, it was not a prophecy in any way, shape, or form. So anyway, they're dead, I have to say.
Dead-ish.
Lena, her tears. I don't care if she just stands at a window for however many, 8 seasons. I love her. I think she's fantastic.
She's great.
She's great. And I thought they could have given you the ending you wanted, or they gave you the ending that you think the character deserved. I completely agree. They short shrifted her this season.
Yeah.
But I did love the momentous ending for the two characters wrapped together. I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go back out and this is Arya now kind of going, I want a life. And she's there trying to save herself.
But it doesn't stop. The banging and the dragon, and you're like, it's relentless.
Mm. And I thought at a point then you might have a face-off. I was all about the face-offs last night. You might have a face-off with Arya and Dany. You know, that maybe Drogon flies low, and because at one point you see Arya and everyone around her is dead.
I don't think that she's... Dany is not thinking about, like, she does want to kill all the Starks now, like, without a shadow of a doubt, because they are Westeros and they're the ones who will
stop her.
That's
a very good point.
But she wasn't thinking about them right then and there. She's just like, I'm going to kill freaking everyone, whoever it is. But she's not thinking directly of them. I thought it was quite significant that when Arya's running away from the bell that was to signify peace, it comes crumbling down. Mm. And I was like, oh, look what you've done now, Dany. Again, line of duty actress comes back, and that's where we've got her humanity. Now, her daughter was holding
also
a white
in an
horse.
Awful way.
I know. No.
So white horse, her daughter was holding the white
teddy
horse.
Or a little wooden thing.
Yeah, they get, and this is where Arya and Davos are doing their thing of trying to save civilians. She's like, you have to
emotional.
Run. And then they get singed to a crisp. Somehow Arya survives, like the only person. Don't start with me, the Targaryen blood now. Who's
lazy,
starting on that?
Convenient.
Lazy and convenient. The white horse arrives. Is it Bran?
Bring me my steed. Somebody
my
in the office
pony,
this morning.
Skinny and bony.
Fetch me my horse.
Somebody in the office this morning believes that the white horse is Catelyn Stark. But this person has read the books, and obviously, the books, Catelyn does come back.
That's in the books. Mm-hmm. Anyone who hasn't read the books, I'm so sorry. That's a massive spoiler. I'm really sorry.
I don't believe that. The other.
A storyline.
What did
really
Khal Drogo
hate?
Give Dany? A white horse.
So what? Now he's kind of like, here, come here. I know my missus has gone insane. Here's a white horse. Could it have been
Or
Bran?
Maybe it's like, taxi! Here you go. Get out of here.
Was it Bran?
I doubt it.
But you know what? If it had been my taxi or whatever the hell it's called now and she cancelled it, she would have had to pay a €5 charge.
What if it was just a fucking horse?
Yeah, what if it was just a way out of there?
Do you know what
if
I mean?
Ed Smith was in here, he'd be like, ah, girls, you're overthinking it. Yeah. Can you just... Because I really do believe we're thinking about this a lot more than the director did.
There was four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Ooh, low-key shade.
There was the horsemen of the apocalypse kind of references and stuff, and I loved when she came out and she had that kind of ringing in her ears. It was very September 11th, I would say, with the dust and the crawling out of the
buildings. People were saying it was reminiscent of, you know, Pompeii, that movie.
Yes, and the entire colour scheme had changed back to night again. It looked like she was back up the north with the snow and the dark as well.
This is what's interesting as well, because winter is coming. Dany is the one who brought winter to King's Landing because all of the ash of people's burnt bodies and charred bodies and bones, it's the ash falling, it's not snow. And that harks back to her in season two. I'm not even joking. Yeah, I love this. Season two, in the House of the Undying, she had a prophecy where she goes in and she's in the throne room. It's a broken throne room. And she walks up to the throne, the Iron Throne. She doesn't touch it. She gets called away by Drogon and Rhaego, her son. And she's like, maybe I'm dead already and I don't realise it. And he's like, I will wait for you forever. And in that scene, people thought it was that Jon Snow would be, because they thought it was snow falling.
It was ash.
It's ash falling.
Yeah,
so that's back
amazing.
To season two. So it's weird that stuff from season two, season four, season five and season six.
But
are
they are
up in
weaving.
Episode.
I know what you're saying, lazy and convenient. In fairness to them, they are taking threads from and bringing it all together. So I have high hopes for next week's episode. Arya's bounded out of there. We don't know where she's gone. Can we just take a quick roll call?
She's gone to do Aintree.
Who is alive and who is dead? Who have we got in play for the last episode?
We have the Starks. We have Jon Snow. I'm still calling him a Stark. We have Sansa. We have Arya. We have Bran. We have Ser Davos is alive. We know that Dany is alive. Grey Worm. More of the Dothraki and Unsullied that I bloody knew about.
Tyrion
is there. Go Tyrion.
Is that it?
So dead, we've got Euron, Jaime, Cersei, the Hound, the Mountain, Qyburn.
Bronn is still alive in Highgarden, and Yara Greyjoy.
Oh yeah.
From what we know, Bronn's scene was them saying goodbye to Bronn. He's not coming back into it.
Lazy. Oh. Again, that was really, yeah. Can I just read something I read on Twitter last night? Because I think this is kind of interesting. And I think lots of people will have seen this. One of the reasons this, and this is about the episode last night, one of the reasons this ending sucks so much is the implication of it. Missandei dying in chains, the Hound dying in fire, Jaime going back to Cersei, Dany fulfilling a mad Targaryen expectation. It's like they're saying you can never escape your past. What you've been will always be what you are. And that's a really, really terrible message to be sending.
Oh my God, I've always been lazy and half arsed.
I thought that it was very self-fulfilling. Like that they were all on this journey, that they are who they are. But then you look at little Arya, who has grown up to be a scrapper and a fighter, and she had put herself on a road to killing Cersei. That was her, you know, and she was talked out of it and
which
turned
she
around.
Always no, because she knew Cersei would die, and she did. I actually, that's a good point, Roisin. That's also incredibly fucking depressing. Anyway, let's play this.
Right. Or die. When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
You win or you die, Cersei. I love you. Anyone ever going to get to have the ride again?
Damn Sansa boss. And Tyrion are going to get it on.
Let's get it on.
Boom.
Boom. Chicka-wow-wow.
Like, who the hell is Jon going to get married to after this?
Me.
Arya will get to have the ride with Gendry. Even if she doesn't become.
I think in the finale, Jon and Dany are going to ride. And then he's going to kill her.
Absolutely not. She's not going to let him within a hair's breadth of her gear. Are you insane?
You went there.
Oh my God.
Sansa and Tyrion.
Is listening to
Sansa and Tyrion.
No.
Yeah.
No. Do you really think so?
Yes, I do, because in the last episode,
chemistry.
In the Battle of Winterfell, that was kind of reignited slightly.
He's the only man who ever respected her. Let's just say it out there.
Yep. Yeah.
She said,
you were the best of them. Yep. Which isn't setting the bar very high, but you'll take what you can.
So are we all
and
agreed?
Die? Like, I
Dany's
mean,
going to die.
Dany's going to die. It's just who's going to kill her. It's going to be
Arya.
Or Sansa or Jon.
Or Brienne.
Or does Dany kill Jon?
And then Arya kills Dany.
And Sansa gets the throne.
Yeah. Are we all agreed that Sansa's taking the throne?
Yes.
Do we think that the throne will move to Winterfell? Because she is like, Northmen do not do well down south.
Well, there's nothing in King's Landing.
But sure, they make it a bigger gaff.
Being decimated.
Do you know?
But
you
winter
know,
is in the north.
We're
but
always,
they're used to winter. That's fine.
They're always talking about the great healthcare, the great childcare that they have in Scandinavian countries. I mean, maybe we've got to look at what the community spirit. Yeah.
God, if Sansa sat on the throne, wouldn't Eddard Stark be so proud of all of them?
Yeah.
Apart from Bran.
Stop now. He was. What an absolute wet fish.
I raised a raven.
He pecked his way out of Caitlin's womb. So now we're going to play a game. A game of spin-offs.
The production knows no limits.
I forgot to get that one. We have to say a big up to Enda Dowling. Actually, there was a few people on Twitter last week that Roisin, they were knocking it out of the park.
Oh, wow. Some of them are brilliant.
So Jimmy Corrigan and Enda Dowling, they've got Queer Eye for the Yunkai, the makeover artist, moved from America's East Coast to the Slaver's Bay outpost of Yunkai, dispensing fashion and lifestyle advice.
Like Queer Eye for the Yunkai, that is phenomenal.
Are you ready for Enda's second one?
Yeah.
Room to improve with Dermot Brannan. Dermot elicits the expertise of the Three-Eyed Raven to help him foresee project delays. Brian keeps frustratingly tight-lipped and costs spiral.
The next one, Dancing with the Starks. I thought this is amazing. Various personalities from past RTE Guide covers partner up with a member of House Stark for a Sunday evening easy-to-watch dance-off. Think Aenon Ni Luna and Eddard Stark jiving to Declan Nerney, maybe. Big up to Declan Nerney, a Longford man. Others, MTV Crips. At your own service.
Amazing.
At your own service. Euron leaves Cersei and joins the Brennan dynasty. Very good.
Very good. I'm going to go, do you have a spin-off for us, Alison?
Yeah, I'm going to get quite political. Mine is the Westeros wing.
Oh,
very good.
The Iron Throne moves to Washington because God knows where it belongs now. And the next big battle is between Kit and Trump.
Is that what happens next?
That's it, yeah.
I love that so much.
We don't know which one's more handsome. I think it might be Trump. Okay, so that's my one.
I've got Home and Walder Frey.
Very,
yes,
good.
Very good.
But you have to
Home
sing
and
it like
Walder Frey.
Yeah.
Home
closer Walder each day.
Home and Walder
I couldn't
Frey.
I couldn't think of one this week, so I'm going to...
I've got one here.
I'm going to credit Jimmy Corrigan. So I'm going to take Jimmy's, right? So shout out to Jimmy Corrigan on Twitter. Orange is the new Castle Black. A Brexit border, not finished. A Brexit border is created in the form of a giant ice wall manned by Protestants to ensure no wildling Catholics enter the north illegally. Bit controversial, maybe. Jimmy, you're a legend.
Oh my God.
She can say that shit because she's from the border.
She's the Louth.
I'm a border.
She's not from Louth.
Match. Northford. I didn't say that.
She said aloud. I tried to make. Look, move it on.
Sorry. Match of the Fray was another one as well. We're actually going to do a bunch of spoilers on our Twitter. I think we haven't decided if we're going to come in live and do a radio show.
I want to.
Yeah, but
because I'll tell you why. I want to do it just to wrap it all up. Listen, whether it's good, bad, whatever. My expectations are lower than they were at the start of season 8, so that's fine. It's still the finale.
So I've got to spend time with you at night time again.
Myrne, you're going to,
pajamas.
I mean, let's not be, you're outside our room most nights anyway. What is your lasting kind of feeling about walking into the last episode? So when the credits rolled this week, I was like, oh, this is the second last time this will ever feel like this. And next week will be the last. And I feel really sad. And I also feel really glad that we had this season because I loved it. I loved this
season. See, they confirmed the prequel.
Yeah.
Filming has started in Belfast or is about to commence.
I told you.
It's already started. Naomi Watts gets on my wick.
She was cast last year.
Yeah, she gets on my wick.
Naomi Watts. And they're like, no, it isn't.
It's set 5,000 years before where we find ourselves today in Westeros.
Children of the forest.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it.
I'm absolutely going to watch it, but she's not for me.
I'm going to, once this is over, I'm going to give myself a week or two, and I've started Game of Thrones again from season 1. It's so good.
Yeah, so have I. I'm at season 3.5.
I'm watching the US Office because everything else in life is disappointing.
Oh, listen,
don't
think that I'm not tuning into The Real Housewives of New York, Bethany Frankel for life.
And just a quick shout out to all of the little Twitter memes flying around the place for the last 2 days since this episode aired with the theme tune from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. And also the Billy Ray Cyrus one as well.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road just over Aria.
And then the rap kicks in. She goes. So fantastic.
Very good.
Fantastic.
If you ever need a GIF, you go directly to Cersei tiptoeing around Clegembol. From me, Myrne O'Connell, Roisin Riley, what
up? Bye-bye.
And Alison Healy.
Flan.
Boom, 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 boom. This has been
The Night's Watch.
The Great Wall is here.
With Myrne O'Connell on Today FM.